It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Handoff goes to Cook, through a hole, to the five, into the end zone for the touchdown. Looking to load up, fires deep, rainbow down the field, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. Takes the snap, back to pass, looking to his right, pocket collapsing, and he's down. DeJuan Smoot and Greg Rousseau wrapped him up for the sack. Pocket collapsing, Allen squirts away from it, throws to the end zone, and it's caught. For a touchdown, Dawson Knox. Blitz coming, fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Football Friday. We're just talking here on the break. I was disappointed yesterday. I wasn't here. I had to, family stuff, kids, doctor appointments, school, blah, blah, blah. Had to juggle some stuff. And I missed our thrilling three-way Thursday parlay.
Yeah.
Much to your loss, because what I was going to add in was I was going to go off the board from Rams-Vikings and predict three pick sixes for the Pitt Panthers. That's what I was going to – that's what I had, Joe. I had
what happened to Kyle McCord last night? Jeez.
Listen. A thing I learned about sports as a parent of kids where you're, busy and you're hectic is,
yeah,
like, you get home at the end of the day and you're just like, oh my God, wow.
Uh-huh.
What a day, but we made it. And then someone texts you about Kyle McCord's third.
I thought you were going to say, like, end of a long day. Like, oh, finally. You sit on the couch, like, exasperated. Like,
turn the game on?
Syracuse. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you turn it on, just Kyle McCord interception.
No, I didn't see it.
Kyle McCord interception. Okay.
That could have been very similar.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it. It was more of a, hey, what's going on with your boy Kyle McCord? And I'm like, I don't have time for this. This doesn't even count. It's like the Sabres games in Prague. You know what? I've decided they don't count. I think you can do that once you're, I don't know.
You're saying they don't count because you didn't see it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I mean, it counts.
Eh. Emotionally for me, it didn't happen.
Five interceptions.
Wow. And three pick sixes for the Syracuse quarterback. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's tough.
Listen, had I called a couple Syracuse friends and had them over and put chips and salsa out and then watched that game, that would have counted. That'd be disappointing. To have missed it entirely, like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I pretend I do not see it. Woof. Anyway.
Also didn't get in our parlay, which we finally did hit last night, and I forgot to freaking bet it.
Congratulations.
I don't know if I should be happy. I finally, if anyone out there took it, I should be happy, because that's what we're doing it for.
I watched a lot of that game. I stayed up as late as I could, reasonably, and I watched for two things. One, it's funny, like, as we watch other football teams from afar. Good morning, by the way. It's a Football Friday. Bills and Seahawks, of course. Football Friday brought to you by Northwest Bank. Football Friday brought to you by by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So it is a Football Friday. We don't really talk NFC much, right?
Not much.
We kind of don't.
No.
We know it's there. It's always a focus on the Chiefs. It's always a focus on the Bengals and the Ravens, which, by the way, people are talking about the Ravens like they're the Harlem Globetrotters right now. And I want to push back on that at some point.
All right.
But last night, it's the Vikings and the Rams, and the Vikings are a bit of a surprise that they're this good. And they're pretty good, but they've come back to earth a bit. And the Rams have been so injured that they can't really do anything. Well, now the Rams are healthier, and they just beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I watched for two things last night. I watched for Stafford, because he's fun to watch.
He's so good. I love Stafford so much.
And of all the best players in football I've seen the least of, I might put Puka Nacua at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to watch the Rams in order to see him, and he puts up monster stats. He was back. He was awesome last night.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson.
Dude's awesome.
He's awesome. Kevin O'Connell is that dude offensively with play calling. Like, that guy's a good coach.
Yeah.
They lost Christian Darrisaw for probably a couple of weeks, their left tackle. But anyway, I did watch that game. I watched a bunch of it just to see what it was like. And, I I like it when the Rams are good.
Aren't there more good teams in the NFC than there are in the AFC? Yeah. Not to say that the best teams are better, although you could maybe also say that, Detroit. But aren't there more good teams, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like this week, you're not an Eagles guy. I'm not really either. Where would you rank them in the NFC? Like fifth? Sixth?
Maybe. I mean, I'm pretty low on them.
They play the Bengals this week.
I think they'll lose.
Okay.
I think Cincinnati,
that's a close one, though, I think.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati will beat the Eagles. But yeah, how many teams could win the AFC versus how many teams could win the NFC?
I feel like there are only
five. AFC teams.
I might feel like, does Cincinnati deserve to be in that? Can they win it? They have won it.
That's right.
Their defense, though, isn't as good as it was when they did win it. That matters. But their offense is mostly intact from when they won it. Like, Mixon's different, but, like, I don't care enough about that. So, I want to put the Bengals in, maybe. So, four, maybe five. The NFC, is it, like, seven?
Maybe. Detroit stands above, I think. Green Bay could.
Green Detroit Bay could. Could the whole NFC West?
The whole, you mean North?
Or North, thank you. Yeah. Could the whole NFC North?
No, the Bears can't.
Okay. They're good, though.
They're decent.
Williams, I saw, I'll find the stat. He's like the third rookie quarterback, to put up three straight passer rating games that he has in 3 weeks since like the 90s. Like, he's had three really good games in a row. The Falcons or the Bucks?
Yeah. Maybe that means the NFC is more, you know, driven by the middle, whereas the AFC, there's a cliff.
Commanders, Eagles, and Cowboys. Yeah. Right, there's a middle in the NFC that doesn't exist in the AFC.
Yeah, pretty much. The middle class in the AFC is the Steelers.
Yeah, and maybe the Bengals deserve the middle class right now.
Okay, I might put Houston there myself. I mean, I'm just...
Really?
Well, it's not fair to them because they've been without Nico Collins for a couple of weeks, and it's a pretty big loss.
And he's coming back.
Yes, that's right. So we'll see if they kind of find their form.
Okay.
Anyway, speaking of the NFC, here's Bills and Seahawks.
We didn't list the Seahawks as the team we think can win the NFC.
No, I don't think they can win the NFC.
Okay. They can win their division.
Sure.
We also didn't list the Niners, but we would... They're the second leading favorite still.
They're also having a terrible season, and everything is cursed.
Yeah.
A guy got pneumonia. They can't win.
Yeah, but the only thing we know they won't have come playoff time, assuming they would get there, is Ayuk. And they can get to the Super Bowl without Ayuk. It's harder, but I think they could do that. Jennings is good, their other receiver. So, not as good as Ayuk, but I would put the Niners in there. But the Seahawks could win that division. They could take advantage while the Niners are dealing with their injuries.
Yeah. Well,
like, Geno's good.
Geno is good. He's pretty good.
When we talk about these teams around the league, don't you feel like in the offseason, I feel like I did this a lot. Whenever I'm thinking of like what the Bills should aspire to, and these teams around the league, they have so many good receivers, and you know, the Eagles will come up, and the Dolphins will come up, and the Bengals will come up, and I almost feel like I always forget to mention the Seahawks, but they deserve to be in that category, I think, when it comes to like receiver duos, receiver trios. They might not have it for this game because Metcalf is either maybe not going to play, or maybe he plays and he's like a decoy. But Metcalf, Lockett, and Smith and Jigba is like one of the best trios in the league, I think.
Yeah, thinking about the Seahawks and thinking about the NFC, like as you say, Geno is good.
He's good.
He's good. How many teams have added? Like, how do I do this? Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels are franchise-changing quarterbacks where those teams are going to commit to those guys for probably, 3 to 4 years at least?
Yeah.
When the Seahawks landed on Geno Smith, they probably didn't know they were going to be locking into Geno for 3, 4, 5 years, but looks like they've done that.
Do you remember when they named him the starter, who he was competing with?
Ooh.
Because I remember being surprised or not really believing that he was going to be the guy. It was in the Russell Wilson trade.
Yeah.
They got Drew Locke back.
Oh, that's right. They got Drew Locke. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, okay, well, they're going to try Drew Locke on, right? Like, they got him in the trade. He was a second round pick that only played 1 year. And, like, Geno Smith is going to be their starter. Like, I completely would have scoffed at it. Like, that's not going to last. And he's never come out. This is the third year, and he has not come out.
Geno and Sam Darnold in the same boat, and Baker Mayfield in this boat as well. It's funny because earlier this season, Tom Brady made a point about how quarterbacks don't know how to play the game anymore, blah, blah, blah. You know, kids these days, one of those points. And I think one of the bigger points is, and this kind of loosely ties into plenty of other things that are said about, you know, coaching timelines, which is everybody gives up too quickly. If you think it's too quickly, did the Jets give up on Darnold too quickly, or do they move on in the appropriate amount of time and like, hey, if you're good, that's fine. We just got to do something else. The only guy that I can remember that got a lot of time past when it was the bill was due would be Alex Smith with the 49ers. I can't think of another starter where you're going to go back to that guy again. Most of these teams get out of a quarterback sooner than later.
Oh, you mean like on the same team?
Yes.
Where the same team, like, said, we're done with you, and then they came back to you.
Yes, Baker Mayfield.
And it worked to a reasonable extent.
Sure.
Right? Because Smith went back in after being horrible at the beginning of his career, and then was like, he was good.
He never. Most scenarios, he would not have lasted. I think in his first season, he had one touchdown and 11 picks.
Oh, yeah. It was like his first 3 years were horrible.
Right. Put it this way. If that's the Bills in the drought, he gets four games of year two and it's over. I mean, that's what E.J. Manuel was, right? Manuel had an okay first season, played four games, and never played again.
How many did Lossman get, though?
Lossman was in and out because of Edwards. He got a couple different,
those years are just all a mosh of like who was in, who was out, I don't know.
You know, for better or for worse, some of these teams, I don't know.
Right, Lossman had 1 year where he started more than eight games.
Do the Jets regret either Geno or Darnold, and should they? Because I don't really think that they should. Hey, good luck. If you go somewhere else and succeed, that's fine. We played the rant earlier this year when Deshaun Watson had a bad game, and there's someone calling the Browns postgame to talk about Baker Mayfield playing great. Should the Browns be bitter about Baker Mayfield? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe they should, because they decided to go in a couple different directions in between, and of course they went to Deshaun Watson.
Well, Baker, more specifically for the Browns, I would want to add in, is that they gave up on him in a season where he shouldn't have been playing because his shoulder was broken and being held together with duct tape, and then they judged him on that season where he was broken, and they gave up on him, and he was probably always pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty rough on them.
So, like, that one maybe is even worse. Goff kind of this a little bit too, but you can't really do that because the Rams won the Super Bowl after giving up on him, right?
Goff is another good answer.
But like Goff was kind of like, at least by us, the difference here is the Lions never left him for dead. Like the Lions put him in, and I remember always thinking like, well, they should trade for Lamar Jackson. That was always the team I wanted to trade for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and then they drafted Hendon Hooker or something.
They did that. Yeah. Like, oh, they should draft a quarterback, and the Lions the whole time were like, nope, Goff. It wasn't just a cap dump. Like, nope, we want him to be our quarterback, and he's turned into, like, maybe an MVP candidate.
He might win the MVP. Goff's a great answer, because the Rams last night, the Rams gave a team a first-round pick to take him, basically.
Right. It was a first for Stafford, and they gave him another first to take Goff. Yeah.
That's a pretty good trade for them.
Yeah, it's a great trade.
It clearly put Detroit where they need to be. It's like, we're going to load up on first-round picks, get a quarterback that wants to be here, whatever.
I think you're right, though, that Smith is the only one that I can think of that, like, they went, was this happened on the same team. Alex Smith. I'm racking my brain. I don't think I can think of another example of this.
Yeah.
Especially one where it went well.
Teams give up. The GMs give up. GMs get fired. Coaches get fired. And then it becomes, a new management group wants to bring in their guys and start it with a flashy quarterback. So a lot of times these guys don't get enough time.
Yeah, this would be like Bryce Young going back in right now and just like taking off, which just, come on.
Seems ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely would seem ridiculous that could happen.
So, Geno. Good for him.
Geno's story is like, the difference between him and like Baker, Goff never was a backup. Like Goff went right to, you're just a starter on a different team. Was Baker even ever a backup? He goes to Carolina and was a starter.
Yeah, he went to the Rams very briefly.
Yeah, and then he's in Tampa as a starter. Like, Mayfield never had a long stretch of, like, you're not a starter in the league.
Geno was a backup with the Giants and the Chargers.
Yeah, and then even the Seahawks maybe under Wilson.
It is funny. Like
he went, like, seven, eight years between him being the starting quarterback of a team.
Yeah, you just never see this career arc where a guy early on gets a lot of time, and then from 2015 to 2021 or 2020, he really did not play.
He was
barely in.
he's a backup. He's a spot duty guy. He's a, our starter got hurt. Let's throw him in. And then there it is, 2022, 4,200 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, I do remember one start that he had in the middle there that was controversial. Do you remember the start he had with the New York Giants?
He took over Eli's streak.
Yeah, Ben McAdoo put him in for that, and then everybody got mad because he ended the streak.
Does McAdoo look better now because, hey, look, Geno, he's good. I tried to tell you.
Right, what was That's he doing? His quarterback was provably terrible at the time.
He's trying the next guy.
And then he got yelled at by everybody because, oh, you can't end the streak. And I think the owner got involved. They put Eli back in. So
I think that's why the Giants consistently stink, is of all the teams that get credit for their owner being involved, the Cowboys are blamed for this a lot. And I think it's pretty clear the Giants lead the league in this.
I will take this opportunity while we're on the NFC a little bit. Did you see the news about John Mara talking about Daboll and Shane? Like, kind of giving them a vote of confidence that, like, I don't want to start over again.
Yeah.
Like, I trust these guys. I read that and went, yeah, this is just because you were the one that wanted Daniel Jones, probably. Right? Right? Like, all this probably is not, oh, guys, vote of confidence. Like, I just don't want to rebuild. It's, they probably didn't want this quarterback, which is the only reason why they're so terrible. You're the one that wanted that quarterback, and you're just not blaming them because it wasn't their fault. That was my read of that. So, the Giants, I'll take any opportunity just to smack them around a little bit. Not a fan.
They need a quarterback.
Stafford.
Like, Daniel Jones would be a good answer if he goes somewhere else and succeeds.
Oh,
that'd be a fun game. Actually, that'd be a fun game to play right now.
Pick the bad quarterback right now.
Pick the trash quarterback who's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Who right now is the trash quarterback that has a 4,000-yard season in their future?
Okay.
Because that's Geno. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, Baker would have done that this year, if not for the injuries, and he still might.
And it'd have to be someone that you're like, no, no way, because you would have said that about Geno 10 years ago. Like, no, there's no way he'll throw 4,000 yards. What are you kidding me?
Yep.
He was horrible with the Jets. Who's that? How many bad quarterbacks are even in right now? Like, bad young quarterbacks.
Well, they don't have to be in. They can be backups.
That would be like Bryce Young.
Bryce Young's too early probably to do that, but sure. I mean, Young's in his second season. Trying to think of like another guy.
Oh, I got a guy.
Yeah?
You ready?
Mason Rudolph.
He's a backup in the league right now.
Who?
Mac Jones.
Yes, that's a good answer.
Mac Jones.
If Mac Jones in 5 years has a 30 touchdown season.
Yeah, he's on the Titans and he throws for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Yep.
That would be the equivalent. Or like, does it have to be a high pick? Because wasn't Geno a pretty high pick?
Second round. Maybe third. Second round.
Okay. Because I was gonna throw like I just had his name up.
Like Alex Smith was first overall. That's another part of this,
right?
Whether or not people stay with you. How about who am I thinking of? Panthers quarterback Jimmy Clausen. If Jimmy Clausen's got a 4,000-yard season in his future, he can't be still in the league.
What about Zach Wilson?
That's a great one.
Zach Wilson,
yes,
is pretty good. Man, that quarterback class, maybe just you could pick that up entirely. Is Fields too good for this? And he also was even good relatively this year.
Fields is probably about a Goff level for this, maybe a little below.
Okay.
Right? Because he was okay to serviceable to kind of bad, but his team got rid of him. If a team says goodbye, that's really what this is. Like, thanks, but no thanks. You play the most important position. We invested a lot to get you, and we think that we're not afraid of you going elsewhere. Fields went for a sixth-round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fields is this.
Yeah. And then the other guy that I would want to throw out there, but this is different because he's never played, would be Trey Lance in Dallas.
Yeah, okay.
But he never played.
No, but he's been left for dead by multiple franchises. If he were to catch on, that'd be a surprise.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a fun question. Who's the next quarterback that's going to, like, oh, actually, turns out this guy can play.
Well, how often is that, like, who was the last one?
Well, we're having one right now is Darnold. I mean.
Yeah.
That's Sam Darnold. Is he going to get an extension in Minnesota, or are they just going to push him to the side and he's going to go as a free agent because they have J.J. McCarthy?
I think that's why Florio was trying to push the idea that they would swap Darnold for Stafford, is because the Vikings only need a guy for this year. Well, maybe. Could Darnold be good? If they go to the NFC Championship game, do they give him a long-term extension and say they're punting on the first-round quarterback that they've never seen?
Well, the thing about long-term extensions is it can often look like 6 years and be two.
Okay.
That's Daniel Jones.
But they'd have to get Darnold to pass on being the only starting caliber quarterback in free agency. Like, Darnold can hit the market and be the only idea for anybody out there. Like, he can get a good contract, and the Vikings would have to get him to bypass that and would probably have to give him assurance. Because, like, if you're Sam Darnold and you have a great season and you go to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings,
you have how many teams you could possibly sign with?
Right.
Is it
versus, do you want to stay in Minnesota and sign up for, well, they could replace me at any time because I know that this first-round pick is coming back and they're going to want to get to him at some point, versus I could go to the Steelers right now and just be their guy.
Well,
or someone else like that.
I feel like the number of teams for a guy like Darnold is like four. And it's not that many. It's not as many as you think. It's kind of like being a starting goalie. You're a free agent. There are only so many nets, and some teams feel really good about their guys. Take 20 teams off the board because they are already happy with their guy, and take another six off the board because they're going to draft somebody. Like, Kirk Cousins is a bit of a cautionary tale here for any receiver, for any quarterback that's going to hit the open market to say, oh, I'll sign. Great. I got all this money guaranteed, and they draft a quarterback. Like, even though they get you, they're looking to replace you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's right. The other thing the one thing that would help, I think, Minnesota's case to get him back would be, does Darnold now understand how important coaching is? Because he was at the Jets and then was in Carolina, which were dumpster fires.
Yeah.
And it was horrible for him. And then he went to the Niners, so he would have had a year with Kyle Shanahan, and now he's with Kevin O'Connell. Like, would he want to go to the Raiders? Or would he think, I'm gonna fail there. Antonio Pierce and whoever, like, just, it's not a buttoned up organization.
What's the check?
You think that we would pass on?
Would you take $4 million to with a good coach or $40 million with a bad coach?
Well, right, yeah, at that point. But what if I make it $35 million with a good coach versus $40 million with a bad coach?
How much guaranteed?
I don't know.
803-0550 if you want to join us.
Really, you should just go to the Giants. That's the team that fits all.
Yeah,
of these.
Maybe
go be with Dable and get 40
and rub million. It in the Jets' face. Kind of just meandering here on quarterbacks. We never had to do this with Josh. Josh was always good, pretty much. Even in his first year, there was enough there, and then by year two, it was easy.
Yeah, I got some heat one time for writing an article on our website about
that. You wanted him to be a little better.
It was the off season after 2019,
second year. Like, he's got to take a step.
Yeah, and basically the thesis was, he either needs to take a step or I want to call the Lions about Stafford.
Yeah,
but they took the step.
Yep.
So that's it. All good.
Yeah, ideally
never got there.
Your players are so good, it's never tough.
Right.
And for Josh, that was pretty much it. 803-0550 to join us. Bills and Seahawks coming up, of course. And it's a football Friday. Sabres play tomorrow afternoon. I went to a Sabres event last night. I'll tell you about a little bit later. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. When we return, I want to answer a question Chopin Bulldog asked yesterday, which is, do you feel better about the Bills as a Super Bowl team now than you did to start the year? Do you feel better now than you did at the start of the year on their chances, whether that's them, their peers, how it all looks? You feel better or worse, or about the same? And give you our answers on that. Get yours as well. 803-0550 to join us on a Football Friday on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Look out, safety. Byron Young takes him down to the end zone. Rams seal it. They had two, and it's 30-20.
Now, I thought the face mask, something happened to Darnold. Maybe he grabbed underneath and got to Jersey, but something made Darnold, his head go back with his pressure. Remember when he said the left side is where this pressure is going to come from? Fisk takes the tackle. Young works through, and he got a hold of something there. Let's see. Yeah, he got that face mask. He sure did.
Yep.
One funny thing about that play, so that's going to be the big topic in the NFL today. Challenging penalties, make penalties reviewable. That's a non-call.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember anyone kind of leading the charge to make penalties something you can challenge or review? Non-calls, penalties?
I remember it. Well, I remember on pass interference, obviously.
Yeah, right? that did happen.
And that happened for a year?
Yes.
And they got rid of it?
Yes.
But I don't know if I remember, like, hey, let's challenge all penalties.
Belichick? He wanted to make penalties reviewable.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately look like Belichick says challenge penalties. You know, just fired into Google. 2013. Kind of stunned how long ago that was. 2013. Should penalties be reviewable, challengeable? One ironic, whatever, maybe, note about that play for Darnold. That is a scoring play. It was a safety. It was only a safety because he was ripped down by his face mask.
Yeah.
But that's a scoring play. Why? So technically you could review where he was if it's a scoring.
Yeah.
But you can't review the official that missed it's a pretty blatant face mask. The official.
It was blatant.
The official missed it. And the guy that tugged the face mask of Darnold and ripped him down to the ground after he tackles him, you can see him kind of walking away from the play with his head in his hands, knowing he has made a big mistake.
Yeah.
And then he looks around like, oh no.
His head. Oh, I didn't yes. see that until right now. His hands, he puts them on his head.
Yeah, he's upset with himself.
Wow.
He got a sack for a safety to ice the game, and he's mad because he knows, like, oh man, that's definitely 15 yards.
Yeah, but they didn't call it. Wow. I mean, penalties reviewable on scoring plays. Like, it does that even opens up so much. There's holding in every play, right? Like, that's always said. So if you make, hey, we're going to even just do that. Scoring plays are reviewable, so we're going to make everything on a scoring play reviewable. Then are you ever going to have scoring plays? Just, I don't know. The penalty seems like a step too far for me a little bit. I like the way they're doing reviews now, how quick they're getting, but I don't think I need to do it on penalties. That would be my line in the sand, I think.
A lot of times the measure that's applied to these kind of things is what happens if a Super Bowl ended on that play, right? Mm-hmm. What happens then? Mm-hmm. Which we did have a Super Bowl effectively end on a penalty. That's Chiefs-Eagles, and that did not get reviewed. And if it had been reviewed, it would have been horrible torture.
Yeah.
Like,
this situation, though, is like that situation is not.
It's pretty blatant. It's not debatable. No one's going to watch that and say.
Yeah. But it's not quite a you win the game if that penalty doesn't happen call, because you're backed up on your own goal line and
that's
you
right.
have to go 98 yards to score a touchdown.
But like, you don't,
they could have. But
you don't lose the game. I mean, the Rams won the game because the penalty was not reviewable.
Yeah. It would be different for me, I think, if they were like, if the Vikings were up one and that happened. And then the Rams went ahead and, like, won the game. Like, maybe it would be more, the situation would be more egregious. I think it would have caused more anger if the game situation was a little different. But that's not to say it wasn't important. I mean, they had a chance to go down and win the football game. A touchdown would have won it for them. And, well, they do an onside punt after that or something?
They did.
And it didn't work, I'm assuming. I fell asleep by the time that was going on at the end of the fourth quarter.
803-0550. Chris Ritson, use the eye in the sky. No review, though. I mean, that's even worse. Eye in the sky, just oh no, they've called a penalty. Well, I'm sorry, they did what?
Mm-hmm.
You're not even asking where to look, because eye in the sky does not see everything. It looks at things just like officials do. And then when the eye in the sky, which is this, who runs that? Who's in charge of that? Who's the person? Who's the official? You don't even get a face. Mm-hmm. It's just after discussion, so-and-so is that. Now I've got this nameless, faceless drone camera entity taking points off the board. That sounds like a terrible idea. Touchdown. Actually, guys, the eye in this guy says Dawkins held. What? Who was looking for that? Or when you miss a call, where's the eye in the sky? How come it didn't call so-and-so on this hold here? How come they didn't call DK Metcalf for offensive pass interference? It's right there. Where's the eye in the sky for me? Eye in the sky to me is the worst idea because there's no accountability. There's no
real... Well, it's the same as refs, though.
No.
The only difference is we don't see them.
No. Eye in the sky versus challenges is a coach can decide that play, and there's a limited number. Like, to me, the key about challenges and the challenge system is that it exists to try to keep the number of plays limited or at least under control. If I have three challenges in a game, I don't throw a flag on every play. Imagine if there were unlimited challenges. How many challenges would you get in a game? 15?
Would you get, yeah.
You'd get a million.
Yeah.
You'd have coaches trying to stop momentum. Like, throw a flag out there. Let's talk about this. McDermott would get a million timeouts on defense.
They would get free timeouts.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So the challenge system exists, and the number of challenges being capped exists to try and limit it so it doesn't take over the game.
Well, actually, wait a minute. If we're keeping it so that you would cost you timeouts, there wouldn't be unlimited. There would be unlimited challenges, but you would still run out after your timeouts ran out. Yeah. You'd really only have three, right?
Could Eye in the Sky only call certain penalties? What are those?
Yeah.
Is Eye in the Sky going to start? Is it personal fouls? Okay, let's walk down that road a little bit. All right, Eye in the Sky has decided to take over personal fouls. So that means it's watching the quarterback on every play.
Well, aren't they eventually going to take over everything?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Like, I don't know. I feel like there could be a future where referees are just on the field to communicate to people on the field what the head referee in the booth is seeing. They're doing that already with spots. They're doing it already with, like, calls in the end zone. They did this in the Jet Monday night game. Or was it the Bills game? Or was it the Sunday night game where the Jets are setting up for a fourth down and they're trying to run to the line, and it's probably only 10 seconds or maybe even less than that later, and there's the, after discussion, we're moving the ball 6 inches forward. It's a first down. Like, I don't know. I feel like that guy's getting more and more control over the game because he's better at his job than the head referee on the field is.
Right. He's got slow motion, blah, blah, blah. But again...
even just watching it on TV is a... I don't even need the slow motion or the replay. If I'm watching the screen, I have a better angle than the referee on the field does.
Well, you could just... Again, if you don't want that to take over the game, you could just have that be challengeable. Last night's game. Last night's... personal foul, last night's face mask. If I just have a system in place that Belichick wanted, which is I can challenge penalties, I throw the flag there, 15 yards penalty on them. If that's Eye in the Sky, it's got to what? Buzz down and say, hold on a minute, we stop the game, we check it. Is there no limit to the Eye in the Sky number of times? Like the idea that you ask if it's going to take over altogether, that Eye in the Sky, the reason I say no is because people would wonder about it. People would wonder who's in charge of it. They already think games...
But what's the difference?
They already think games are fixed. That's right. They already do think games are fixed. But...
But, like, again, like the difference is, like, you mentioned accountability earlier for, like, Eye in the Sky. What are the refs accountable for? Wouldn't it be the same thing? Like, we don't know what their accountability is.
You see their faces. They are accountable.
But for their jobs, it doesn't matter.
They get good games and bad games, whether or not they perform well. Hey, tonight's Eye in the Sky judge is not the one from last week who was suspended for missing a call. Like, that doesn't really exist. Refs do get held accountable. People are mad.
Well, this guy would still get held accountable, too. He would just be held accountable by his bosses.
Are you sure about that? How do you know? What's his
name? But that's the same thing as the refs right now.
No, you do know about the refs. You do know when a guy gets pulled off a game or doesn't get future games.
All right, so put him on the screen then on broadcast. I don't know. I like that they're involved now more because I think they are better at their jobs than the referees are. I think they get more things right, and they're now doing it super quick than the referees do. I'd rather have that than wasting hours on the next day every year like was done for 50 years about what the refs got wrong.
If the Eye in the Sky shows up to reevaluate every single play, just shut down the sport. It would be the death of the sport. Every single play, as it exists now, you have to pause to see if it counted. And with the Eye in the Sky doing that and reviewing everything, welcome to that life. Might as well call it the Eye in the Sky Football League, where every play needs to survive a second evaluation. And that's hell.
Mm.
Right?
Yes. Yes and no, though. I think it can be quick enough to where it doesn't even come off
quick enough
as a second evaluation.
You have to, what you're talking about is setting a slider on how strict you want it to be. Every single play in the scenario is being reviewed.
But what I'm... Yes.
For clarity.
But what I'm talking about getting to a point where they're, the eye in the sky is the first evaluation, not the second evaluation.
Right. First evaluation. So there are no, yeah. there are no longer flags on the field. Now it's just the eye in the sky. What?
It's a it's a buzzer.
You
or
hear
something.
A buzz.
I don't know.
Ding. Oh, the play I watched is now going to be subject to a review. This is VAR, which is terrible. All of these things are terrible from an entertainment standpoint.
I don't agree as much as you do on that.
You're talking about extending the offside challenge to further infect other sports.
Well, my biggest problem with the offside challenge is they're terrible at it, at the offside challenge.
Well, that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is its existence.
Mm-hmm.
That you are no longer allowed to just watch a game. And the idea of eye in the sky taking over and challenging penalties, and now I've got more things that can undo the thing I saw happen.
Yeah, that's where I don't think I like it for penalties. I like it though for like spotting the ball. I like it for like, was that in the end zone? I could tell within 10 seconds whether the guy was in the end zone or not, or whether that should have been a first down, or whether now they have to go for it on 4th and 1, and then I have to be wasting time the next day about, oh, guys, it should have been a first down actually. So we have to pretend that it happened the other way, and now they get an excuse that they shouldn't have been built in.
803-0550, Football Friday. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get your call on the other side. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash, Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Officiating right in the crosshairs today after last night's face mask that did not get called on a safety that effectively ended that game in L.A. Jeremy and Joe on Football Friday on WGR. Get a call in here on a Football Friday. Rams win last night. Officiating, one of the big topics because of a missed face mask in the end zone. Chris in Buffalo joins us as we connect with our fans. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning. Good, Chris.
Good. Great topic. Kind of was making me think of my player days and as a coach and educator, you know, how do you go about dealing with the, you know, obviously there's a human element with the refereeing, but I guess maybe at some point you kind of think like, well, maybe as a player and a coach, we shouldn't have been in that situation where maybe a difficult call by a referee, you know, kind of skews or goes one way, which wasn't the way you were hoping as a player or coach. So it's tough. It's difficult. I mean, everybody's got something vested in it these days as a fan or a player, or even obviously with the gambling piece of it and all. But I guess it's sometimes you just have to maybe be like, well, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have been in that position anyway to have a call go against us. So you guys have a great day and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Chris. That's a real tough standard. I mean, that's to me, that is coach speak. We shouldn't have been what? Down 8 points on the road, which is a spot the teams can get into. We should have played a perfect game so that a call couldn't hurt us. Like, that's why the Rams didn't have to do that. You know,
right.
I never really like that one too much, just because it's whatever. You mentioned, Chris, like your coaching, your playing days, like that's coach speak. That's when you make your own breaks. Sometimes, and other times, you would have won a game and you don't because someone else made the wrong call. Like, I don't know. To me, that it's somewhat of a parallel to overtime when only one team had to possess the ball. Like, well, just make a stop. Well, they didn't have to. Why did I have to?
That was always the one that drove
just make
me
a
to
stop.
Nuts.
It's not equal. Anyway, I think it's a phone call. I mean, I don't know. The Vikings are 98 yards away, need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. So I'm not sure how much of this is, you know, they got screwed by officials on the loss. But the 15-yard penalty would have been, you know, 1st and 10 from the 17 or whatever.
Yeah, like what would their win probability have been before that play?
Probably
4%, pretty low.
Pretty low,
I would think. It's a horrible call. The ref is right there, by the way. Like, he's right behind where that play is happening. So it's just a brutal miss by him, basically. That happens.
Yep.
That just happens.
803-0550. Football Friday. Bills and Seahawks on the way. What's the worst call of the year in the Bills season so far?
This year? Ooh, that's going to be...
The worst officiating blunder so far this year.
The roughing the passer on Kyler Murray in week one.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That's the one.
Are we sure the worst call didn't...
I don't think I've seen McDermott as mad about a call. Well, not even mad. It was actually in the TV timeout, I think, where him and Allen were like getting into it with the ref a little bit on like, what are you talking about? Like, it was a horrible roughing the passer call in week one. Like first half, maybe.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals maybe were gonna be stopped there and then they ended up scoring a touchdown.
803-0550. We'll check in with Sal, check in with Chris Brown, and take your calls as well. Bills, Seahawks coming your way Sunday, 4:25. Big week in the NFL upon us. Already underway with the Rams win. Football Friday on WGR. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.